Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thanks for joining me, especially if you struggle with feeling overwhelmed, because that is what we are going to talk about today. It's been coming up more frequently lately in my work with clients, and this happens every time I enroll a bunch of new people in a program, whether it's Strong Foundations or it's the consistency course. Most recently, it's been the consistency course where people struggle with feeling overwhelmed. So what I want to do today is talk about a few things that drive that feeling so we can understand where it's coming from, allowing us to course correct more readily. But also I want to present a couple of tools and resources for when you are feeling this. But I do believe it's very important to know why you're feeling overwhelmed. One of the most common reasons that people feel overwhelmed is because they want certainty and they don't have it. For example, let's say you want to lose weight. And you've been reading about the carnivore diet, and you've been reading about ketogenic diets, and then you saw somebody else getting great results counting their macros. And so when you don't have the certainty of which way is the best way, you can feel overwhelmed. You want clarity. You want certainty. You want somebody to say, hey, do it this way. Here's why. And when you don't have that, because there's lots of options and lots of conflicting opinions, you can feel overwhelmed. Something that happens when this is what's driving your overwhelm, the desire for certainty and not having it, it often uncovers the fact that you trust others more than you trust yourself. Even if you don't know the person, even if that person doesn't know you or your past patterns or your lifestyle or your circumstances. See, we put a premium on somebody saying, do exactly this. Hey, Sheila, yeah, you do it this way. And because they're offering us certainty, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do, we see that as valuable, even though the person giving you that advice doesn't know that it'll work for you. Because they act like it will, because they tell you it will, it becomes more valuable. Whereas when people say, well, you could do it this way or this way or this way or this way, you feel overwhelmed because you're lacking certainty and you don't trust yourself to decide. Here's the deal. When you're on the sidelines gathering information, it's always going to be more confusing and overwhelming. The best teacher is your own experience. The most valuable and accurate certainty comes from you, your action. There is no right way. Everybody wants to believe that there is a right way, that there is a best way. But the truth is there's 1,000 right ways and 1,000 best ways because it's dependent on so many unique factors like your readiness to change, your lifestyle, where you're starting from, your circumstances, your schedule, your family dynamics. So many things factor into that. You guys have heard me say a lot recently that one of the best ways to understand a concept is sometimes comes from explaining it in the context of something totally unrelated. Because when it comes to what we're struggling with, it's harder to see. But if we can see it in the example of something we're not struggling with, it becomes a lot more clear. We can wrap our heads around it more easily when it's not something we're stuck in the middle of, right? If we were building a house, let's say we interviewed 4 different contractors. Chances are they have 4 different ways of doing things. Some contractors want to start with your vision board and then they want to talk to an engineer, and other contractors want to start with an engineer first and then they want to go to your ideas, and some contractors want to go to the town first, and other contractors want to come up with plans before they talk to the town. It can be done all of those ways. And the way that you find works best for you is in your action, writing a book. There are some people who come up with the title first, and there are other people who come up with the title last. There are some people who start with an outline, and there are some people who write for a year before they synthesize their thoughts enough to be able to formulate an outline and to really have a sense of where they're going and what's in and what's out. It all works. There are some people who love to count macros, and it works for them. And there are other people who would get results from it, but they're not going to stick to it because they hate the process and it doesn't work for their personality type. It doesn't work for the degree of change it represents for them. It doesn't work for their lifestyle or their family dynamics or their travel or whatever. Your certainty is not going to come on the sidelines. And you can put your trust in somebody else more than you put it in yourself. But at the end of the day, if you want to be successful long term, you're going to have to build that trust with yourself over time. Sometimes people feel overwhelmed because they're focusing on everything instead of focusing on what they need to do now or next. To go back to the idea of writing a book, if I said to you, I'm going to write another book and I'm going to make a to-do list of everything that needs to be done, it would be pages and pages and pages long. Everything from big picture stuff like title, book cover design, outline, to draft chapter one, redraft chapter one, create draft three and draft four and draft five of chapter one, final edit, right? I mean, there, and then that same exact thing, multiple rounds of edits for chapter two and chapter three and chapter four and chapter five. And then it's going to be, you know, everything from getting other people to formally edit, getting reviews of the book and figuring out where you're going to sell it and doing page layout and doing a whole marketing plan. The marketing plan in and of itself is going to be multiple pages. And if you were to sit and thumb through that 10, 12, 15 page long to-do list for writing your book and think about everything that needs to be done in the year or 2 years or 3 years that it's going to take you to do it, of course you're going to feel overwhelmed. You'd hardly be human. If we look at any list that has more than 20, 30, 50, 1,000 items on it, it feels daunting. That's just our rational brain assessing, this is a lot. But when you let that stop you from taking action, that's not a problem with the process, and that's not a problem or a weakness with you. It's just a reflection that you haven't broken it down to what you need to do now or next. And a lot of people will classify a feeling as overwhelm when it's really just that they haven't taken the step, they don't necessarily have the awareness that the next thing they need to do is identify what to do now or next. And the thing that they're feeling, whether they're conscious of it or not, that keeps them from doing it is not having certainty. I don't know where to start. How often have you said that or felt that? Like, okay, I have this huge thing, but like, I don't know where to start. I want to remind you, there is no right place to start. We could pick a random starting point and a random ending point and still get there. So let's play out this example. We have this 6, 10, 12 page list of to-dos if we're going to write a book. And we could assign each one of them a number and pull a number out of a hat and start there and still finish eventually. Now, some points are going to be easier to start with than others. If you start by writing chapter 12, that might be tricky because I don't know what chapter 12 is going to be about, but you still could be like, chapter 12, the time that I dropped the ball. It might not end up as chapter 12, but you could certainly pick some random point and start writing. You just have to start. You know, when we I take my consistency course clients through this process of mapping out their journey from where they are now to where they want to be, not in the way that a lot of people think of it. So let's just say that somebody wants to lose 50 pounds. We're not creating a map that says month one, lose 4 pounds, and month two, lose 3 pounds, and month three, lose 7 pounds. Like, no, that's not what we're doing. What we do is we identify, what are the behaviors we ultimately want to have? What are the habits and the patterns we ultimately want to have compared to where we are now? Let's break those down into as many pieces as possible. 20 pieces is better than 10 pieces because we can climb a ladder when the rungs are closer together more quickly than we can climb a ladder when the rungs are spaced further apart. So when we're taking smaller steps, we can take those steps more quickly. Now, when we do that, a lot of people will say, okay, like it's helpful to have this broken down, but I don't know where to start. You know, one of the things that I want is to be walking more regularly. And another one of the things I want is to be lifting weights more regularly. And another thing that I want is to be eating more protein. And another thing that I want is to be eating less sugar. How do I know where to start? When you choose it. You could start with the walking or with the weights or with the protein or with sugar and still get there. But we sit on the sidelines and we intellectualize it as though a piece is the best piece to start with versus another. Nope, they can all get there. It's kind of like if you were to put together a puzzle. My 2.5-year-old is big into puzzles right now. And he can start with the edge or he can start with the middle. He can start with the dinosaur's head or he can start with the dinosaur's feet. He can still complete the puzzle. But if you were to sit there and be like, I don't know where to start, there's all these pieces, it would be overlooking that you don't have to know where to start. You just have to start. We talk a lot on this show about how so many of us have been conditioned, and it doesn't matter why, because we're not a victim of it. We can change it in any moment. We've been conditioned to think that there's a right answer, and that means that there's also a wrong answer. Well, look, the only wrong answer is doing nothing because you feel like you need to get the answer right. Your best teacher is your experience. And if we lined up 100 people who have gotten out of debt and 100 people who have lost weight and 100 people who have written books and 100 people who have built houses, none of them would have the same journey. None of them would say, first I did A and then I did B and then I did C and then I did E, and it wouldn't match up to anybody else's journey. So a lot of times you're overwhelmed only because you're sitting on the sidelines waiting for certainty and it's not coming. It's not coming. So if you have this arbitrary 15-page list of to-dos for writing a book, which you could insert losing weight or getting out of debt or starting a business for writing a book, all you have to do is say, well, what's the one piece I'm going to start with? And is it appropriate for a starting piece? So for example, eating less sugar is not an appropriate starting point because it's really general. It's really vague. What I do with my clients in the example of sugar is say something like, okay, let's look over the last 2 weeks. And if you don't recall, then we'll start from this point and we'll track for the next 2 weeks moving forward. How many times are you eating sugar in the average day? 7. Okay, 7. Cool. Our first step is sugar, no more than 6 times a day, right? And it would probably be even more specific in terms of serving sizes, because somebody who's binging 6 times a day, that's very different than somebody who has a serving of sugar 6 times a day, right? So we have to make it specific. If you want to write a book and you say, I'm going to start with the outline, you might be like, I have no idea how to create an outline. So we'd break it into pieces. And maybe the first step is, I'm going to write down the 3 things I want to teach in this book. And you might think, well, there's way more than 3. Great. That's fantastic. But your first step is to write down 3 things you want to teach in the book. And then maybe your next step is to write 3 more. Maybe your next step is to pull the index table of content from 5 books in the area that you want to write a book so that you can look at them and see what the components are and maybe get some ideas about your own structure. When you break it down into small enough pieces and you discard this notion that there's a right place to start and a wrong place to start, you're 90% closer than you were. A lot of people feel like they're overwhelmed because there's just so much to change. And that comes from doubt. I don't know if I can do it all. I don't know if I can stay engaged for as long as it's going to take me to lose 50 pounds or to write the book or to build the business. You don't have to know. You don't have to know that you're going to stay in it to the finish line to start. And if you're waiting to start until you're sure that you have the capacity, not only will you probably never start, you still won't be sure. You just think you're sure, and that's different. You only have to be confident that you can take the first step. And if you're saying, well, that's the problem, Elizabeth, I'm not sure that I can take the first step. Well, then I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Break that first step down into many steps. Many small pieces. There's a visual that I show my clients in the consistency course. And it's two ladders on the same surface, right? So against the same wall, the ladders are the same length. But one of these 10-foot ladders has only 3 rungs, and the other 10-foot ladder has 10 rungs. You can climb the ladder with 10 rungs a lot more easily than the ladder with 3 rungs, because you maybe can't reach that first rung, or you reach the first one, but you can't get to the second one because you worked so hard to get to the first one, now you're tired. So what I want you to do is take your ladder, which is the figurative distance between where you are and where you want to be, and put in as many rungs as possible. 100 is not too many, because the more there are, the faster you can move between them. You don't have to be confident in the entire journey. That confidence is built through time and experience. It's built along the way. A lot of times our overwhelm is just a sign that we are doing too much thinking. We're spending too much time in the thinking mode and not enough time in the action mode. Overwhelm is a symptom of being in your head instead of being in your practice, right? I also want to suggest that I'm so overwhelmed is a little bit of a cop-out. It's a little bit of a get out of jail free. I can't deal with this because I'm so overwhelmed. I can't even get started because I'm so overwhelmed. Sometimes we just throw that out there as a general blanket feeling. And if we were to slow down, because we don't want to be there, allegedly, if you really don't want to be in that spot, then slow down and get specific and watch how that helps you move out of overwhelm. For example, I'm overwhelmed. What are you overwhelmed about? All the stuff I need to do. No. Nope, that's too general. What's all the stuff you need to do? Everything, everything. Work is crazy and I'm behind at home and I need to handle my taxes. I'm just behind. Nope. You're generalizing. Work is crazy. Okay. Write down everything you need to do. Okay, there's 40 things. Cool. Which of those 40 need to happen today? All of them. All of them yesterday? I don't buy it. You might want them all to get done today. But let's be realistic. Let's be mature. Let's stop overgeneralizing. Let's stop being dramatic. And let's really look at it. Excuse me. This is something that I do every time I do a launch. And I think I shared this with you guys around Strong Foundations. Strong Foundations was brand new, never been done before. Morgan and I hadn't worked together before. And so that added a different element of certain things being his responsibility and certain things being my responsibility and certain things needing to happen in certain order so that he could do his part and then I could do my part. And when I would feel like, oh my gosh, all this stuff, oh my gosh, all this stuff has to be done and we only have 2 weeks and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Which of them have to be done today? And don't get confused between which ones do I want to get done today and which ones do I have to get done today. Because of course, I want everything to get done today. But realistically, what has to get done today? More often than not, very little has to get done today. But maybe in order to not put myself in a situation where my pants are on fire, I want to do these five things. Okay. Which one am I going to start with? Not because there's a right one, but because I need to know where to put my energy and attention first. I'm going to do this one and I'm not going to think about the other four until I get this one done. And when you train your brain to focus on what you're going to do now or next, instead of focusing on all the things, it changes the game. My husband recently went away on a trip with some friends and he was going to be gone for a week. And there was so much that I wanted to get done so that I didn't feel the pressure of trying to find windows to work while he was away. So I have childcare help. I had childcare help lined up for while he was away. But I know that I'm going to make myself put myself in a bad position if I'm relying on that person coming, and this person's super reliable, but you know, she could get the flu, she could get a stomach bug, she, you know, any number of things can happen. So what my challenge to myself was, is I'm gonna do everything that must get done while he's gone before he leaves so that I don't feel this intense pressure every day of I have to get this done, and oh, this person's not coming to help with the kids, so now I'm trying to get it done while they're playing and I'm frustrated, or I'm trying to get it done while they're napping and they don't nap that day. So what I ended up with was this very significant list for Easter week, when there was already other things going on, of things I'm trying to get done. And when I would feel overwhelmed by it, I'd ask myself, okay, which of these has to get done today? And every single day, the answer was zero. I wasn't at a point where any of them needed to get done that day. I was in a point where I wanted them to get done that day. And that's very different. I don't have to stress when it's something I want to get done. I don't know if it was at the beginning. No, it was in one of the Consistency 365 episodes I recorded earlier today about how there's this couple in my family, married couple, God bless them, love them so much, very, very dear to me. They've recently decided that they want to move to another state and they want to sell their house and they want to buy another place in this other state. And they're stressed about it. And they don't need to be stressed about it, right? They're thinking through all the steps and all the issues instead of, hey, what am I going to do today? And you know what? None of the things need to be done today. They just want them to be done today. And when you have that understanding that like, hey, look, I want to get this done today because I'll feel better if it gets done today, but it doesn't have to get done today. Then we don't have to be drama queens and drama kings about it. If you feel like you're generalizing, everything's overwhelming, I have so much to do, challenge yourself to get incredibly specific. And once you have the specificity, get into action instead of into complaining, and you will see yourself move through it. You'll see yourself move through it. Another question that I ask myself, going back to the example of like, I'm going to try and get these things done before my husband's trip so that while he was away, if I had time to work, I was getting ahead. I wasn't chasing my tail. Oh, I have to get this done before this and this time. One of the things that I do to help is I ask myself, what would make this easier, or how can I set myself up for success here? What would make this easier? So with working out, maybe it makes it easier if I bring some dumbbells or a kettlebell into the living room so that if the kids are having a moment where they're playing quietly and they don't need me, that I can do some kettlebell swings or some goblet squats or some overhead presses or something like that. Right? Maybe that just makes it a little bit easier. Another thing that I can do to make it easier is I'm going to plan more crockpot meals than I normally would, because that just means that this thing that I have to do of making dinner gets a little bit easier. Be a solution person and spend more time in action than on the sidelines. Remember, overwhelm is often a great and reliable symptom that we are in thinking mode and we're not in doing mode, that we're on the sidelines when we need to get in the game. If you have questions about this or things that I didn't bring up that are part of your struggle with overwhelm, let me know and we'll do a follow-up episode, because this is a big thing that keeps people from being in action and I don't want it to continue to be a barrier for you. I'll see you guys tomorrow.